You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and welcome along everyone to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. Myself, Sam Norris, joined by Gary Capewell to look at some racing from Exeter, Southall and Kempton. We've also got another domestic all-weather meeting from Lingfield on Wednesday, and there's Irish action in Downpatrick. We've got everything covered from 1:50pm on Wednesday afternoon with Gordon Brown, Sean Quinn and Gary Capewell in the studio. But first of all, it's a very warm welcome to the aforementioned Gary Capewell, and fresh from trip to Dubai as well, Gary. How are you?
I wouldn't say fresh, but certainly back from Dubai is accurate enough. It's obviously a good deal cooler here than it was out there. It was beginning to warm up quite a lot. It's just beginning to hit the sort of 34, 35 daily temperatures. Too hot for me, really.
Yeah, me too, I think.
It was an enjoyable trip. Obviously went out there on the Tuesday, landed sort of midnight. Tuesday or Wednesday morning, if you like. I went to the track to see the horses work on the Wednesday morning, having had about 2 hours kip. People kept coming up to me saying, "You all right?" I looked terrible and I was very, very pale all Wednesday. Went to the draw, went back, had a nap, felt a little bit better. And then on the Thursday, Breakfast with the Stars, did a bit of work for the racing channel out there, obviously, or used to work for. Obviously saw some of the horses work again early in the morning. And then Shane went back for a nap, still couldn't quite get onto the right timings. Went to this amazing party on the Thursday evening in, I can't remember the name of the place, but it's very new and it's almost like it was purposely built just for the like media party, and all sorts of guests were, important guests and me were there, including all the sort of media, and Sheikh Mohammed was there as well, like a sort of welcoming kind of party. Free booze, which is always good. Or a good idea at the time, anyway. And then Friday didn't do a great deal. What did we do Friday? I didn't get up till very late on the Friday. I was still trying to get back on track. I'd lost a lot of sleep. I wasn't sleeping very well. It's very warm. On the Friday, ended up in an Irish bar and watching bits of the All Weather Championship final, which was interesting. And then Saturday, again, didn't get up till quite late. Bit of a swim, went to a bit of sunbathing, watched the racing.
Yeah. Good stuff. Very, very good stuff.
There's the diary for you.
Yeah, I've got to respect your commitment to being out in the UAE and still managing to keep up to date with matters at Lingfield on.
Well, it was on.
On Good Friday.
It was on. So yeah. So we watched a bit of that. So yeah, it was all good.
Good stuff. It was a superb meeting in terms of races, Gary. There's a lot of obvious highlights that have come out of it. It was great to see California Chrome make up for last year. Postponed as well. Looks like he could. Not dominate, but certainly be a leading contender over a middle distance for the upcoming season. What were the personal highlights to take out of the meeting for you?
Probably California Chrome, simply because of, I think he covered 27 metres further than the second horse. He was wide throughout. Connections were very bullish that he was a five-length better horse this year. And when they did the draw, they said that, and they said he worried about the draw. He said, "No, not at all. If you've got the horse, it's fine." And they plainly did have the horse. Obviously, he'd been there a bit longer this time around. He flew almost straight in to run there without a prep race ad in the UAE last year when he was second. And to give away that amount of ground and still manage to win in what was definitely a stronger race took some doing. I don't think he's going to be coming back to the UK. Obviously, he was due to run at due to run at Royal Ascot, wasn't he, last year before he got slightly injured or met with a setback or whatever. But they're going to campaigning with the Breeders' Cup Classic in mind again. I should imagine there'll be fairly likely a race between now and then. And who knows, he might go back to the World Cup. That could possibly be his final ever race this time next year. So he was the highlight. Postponed was very impressive, I thought, in the Shima Classic. He's going to take some beating in some of the decent middle distance races this year. Obviously, the three-year-olds will have something to say about that. But as at present, we don't know who's going to be emerging from that particular age group to try and challenge Postpone last year's King George winner. The Australian horse who won the sprint, the Arqua Sprint, Buffering's coming to Royal Ascot. So that'll be interesting. The Stayers winner, Vizirabad, who unfortunately got the better of My Nap of the Night, Big Orange. I think he's got the pace to drop down in trip. The way he went through the end of that race, I'd probably agree. So we might end up in something like the King George, possibly. Albeit, I think he'd be the ideal horse for the Ascot Gold Cup, personally, myself. The winner of the Dubai Turf, Real Steel, is potentially coming over to the UK. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. I don't think we'll see the UAE Derby winner anywhere, bar Japan. The Godolphin Mile winner, one-man band, will obviously stay out there in the UAE, but he was impressive, albeit there was a huge real pace bias in that particular contest. And I think that's it. I don't think we've missed anything, have we? I think we definitely covered all the group ones. But yeah, it's one of those amazing places to go where you have an opening ceremony in the middle of the card and a closing ceremony at the end. It's quite bizarre, really. But a very, very good night to be there, and yeah, glad that I was.
Good stuff. From the glittering heights of Maidan then to Fairy House on Bank Holiday Monday, the Irish Grand National kicked off this week. We had a real glut of domestic action yesterday, but of course the feature coming from the Emerald Isle, and a really battling performance from Rogue Angel to land the spoils for Mouse Morris and Jer Fox. Really had to dig deep.
He did. He added the Kerry National. Added to his Kerry National victory and making all of the running. Bless the Wings is not renowned as the heartiest of battlers, it has to be said, but he very much wore his hard on his sleeve, this fella out in front. And obviously, if you're reading the Racing Post today, very emotional success for trainer Mouse Morris, who unfortunately lost his son, Christopher, last June. But a real success story for the odd. I backed their other horse in the race, funnily enough. Folsom Blue ended up finishing fourth. When Bless the Wings came alongside, you always just wondered, you know, he's got a habit of not finding a great deal when push eventually comes to shove. And a really, really gutsy effort from the winner. Not many really landed a blow. Those that were sort of prominent for most of the way ended up staying there. I mean, Folsom Blue, I backed, as I say, was up there pretty much throughout. I say probably Bless the Wings, he was never too far away. Obviously Rogue Angel had made most, and Bally Adam approach was stuck on the inside most of the way. It paid to be handy. Bonnie Kate was a bit disappointing. Likewise Marla Beach. Not many really landed a blow. So where they go with Rogue Angel from here, I'm not just sure, but he is entered in the national, but I would struggle to see him getting into that, to be perfectly honest. So putting him away probably seems like an option, and they might campaigning with the bigger race because he'll go up obviously in the weights. He's more likely to get in next year's Aintree Spectacular, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of tough and hardy horses, Cirrus de Agles has been retired as well. The most winning European racehorse of all time, over £6 million quid in prize money. And what a career he's had. Fantastic to see him retire in one piece at the grand old age of 10.
Very much so. You just look along all those victories, not only here, but all those Coronation Cups in the UK. Mm. I was out there. The year he actually got beaten, the Shima Classic, he'd won that race the previous year. Prix Ganay, the Champion Stakes. Obviously, we saw a lot of him over here because as the gelding, he wasn't eligible for quite a lot of those races they have in France. Obviously, the inaugural Champion Stakes winner, when we, I'm sure Christophe Soumillon got the headlines for the whip ban in that particular race. So obviously, it was very quick after the new whip rules had been introduced. But yeah, a real globe, a global star. 7 Group 1 wins, 22 wins in total, 13 of them coming at his beloved Longshore. And Yeah, you think of that prize money, it's some amazing achievement to be getting, over £6 million in career prize money, especially from a gelding as well. Top class effort, and was really well trained by his, really well placed by his trainer, who, Corinne Baran Bob, who doesn't have that many horses, it has to be said. So he was a real success story for a smaller yard in France.
Yeah, absolutely. That about wraps up the news then. We'll move ahead now, Gary, to look at some of Wednesday's racing. We've got two from Exeter, one from Suttle and one from Kempton Park to come. We start with Exeter's 2:30, a handicap hurdle here over an extended 2-mile trip. The dead eight runners go down for this class three at the time of recording. Who's on your mind here?
I think we'll better start with the likely favourite. I think this horse is going to take a great deal of winning in this race. Horse number six on the race card, Space Oddity, who came over from France. Won for this yard at the second attempt when winning at Taunton last month. One of the horses who we beat on that occasion subsequently won, and he's clearly the least exposed of all these, having only had the three career starts. Obviously, I think he's going to take a great deal of beating. Should mention some of the others. Winning Sparks got a tongue tie on for the first time, but he's a bit more of a Taunton specialist. The top weight 22's taken a dual bumper winner, won a couple of times over hurdles, one of them here for this yard last year, making his first run for having his first run for a while, probably entitled to improve maybe a little bit for the outing. Canadian Diamond hasn't been too long with the Richard Rowe yard. Used to be with Sean Lysett, among others, I think. Won at Taunton in December when last seen, has gone up £5 for that success. Might find that a little bit more difficult, particularly against Space Oddity. Getting giving weight to that horse won't be easy. And the other one to mention is Steel City, who wore a visor for the first time when finishing second at Toaster just under a fortnight ago. Has gone up another £3 for that run. But is at least back in better form. But all things considered, Space Oddity is going to be very difficult to beat, and he will be the selection.
Space Oddity then for Gary in the 2:30. We stay at Exeter now for their 3:40, a handicap chaser over an extended 3-mile trip. Just the quintet lineup for this one. Gary, what will it be here?
I think it'll definitely have to be the top weight, Mountain of Morn, who was winner over hurdles at Chepstow in November, then was in the builders a little bit. There was a little bit better on his penultimate outing when he finished third. And then he was second over fences at Chepstow last week. Richard Johnston takes the ride for the local yard of Linda Blackford, who were based down in the West Country. All things considered, I don't think the race is going to take a great deal of winning. The one that I think might prove most troublesome is the Ali Brewer trained Call the Detective, who wears cheek pieces for the first time. This former point-to-point winner who won at Fontwell earlier on in the season on Boxing Day finished third when last seen at Toaster 6 weeks ago. I think he might prove to be the danger, but all things considered, if Mountain of Morn can reproduce that run of last week, he's going to take a good deal of beating with Richard Johnston booked. So Mountain of Morn is the selection in the Exeter 3:40.
Top weight there for Gary then, Mountain of Morn. We go to Suttle now for their 3:25, a 7-furlong handicap here with 10 runners down to contest it. Fairly decent prize money on offer for this one, and it's attracted a reasonably good field.
It's probably one of the highlights at Suttle during their season. We've got horses the likes of Sound Advice rated 103 coming into this race. We'll begin with Pearl Nation, who won this race last year. He's back to have another crack. He's back from a fairly unsuccessful stint in Dubai, where he didn't really agree with the particular surface out there. Much better is going to be expected this time around. Highland Kalori, who hasn't won for a while, but was a good second here over this course and distance last time out when doing all his best work in the closing stages. He has to come under some consideration. Less than time's first time on the surface would be a slight concern. Another one for Mick Appleby is Filber, who's won four times here this winter, three of them coming over this course and distance. He finished fourth last time. It wasn't beaten too far behind his stable companion, Moon Rhythm. More on him. More on her, I should say, in a moment. Trojan Rocket, another one who loves it here. He finished second behind Moon River last time out. Showboating, Cheap Pieces go back on. He was third in that race behind Moon River. And we'll get on to Moon River now because he, she is very much going to be the selection. She's struck up a real good partnership with Ben Curtis. She's won four times here and was runner-up on the other occasion in her only five starts here. She's won her last two. Obviously, she beat Trojan Rocket by three quarters of a length last time out. There's a pull in the weights, a slight pull in the weights. She's gone up £3, but I don't think, to be honest, that will be enough to stop her. So Mick Appleby, obviously, champion all-weather trainer, got a good record here at the track. Obviously, won this race last year. He's has three runs in this race. And Moon River will be the selection of those to come out on top. So Moon River, the selection at Sutherland, 3:25.
Moon River then chasing a course and distance hat-trick for Gary then in the 3:25 at Suddle. We go to Kempton now then for their penultimate race of the evening. The 7:55 is a mile handicap with eight runners down for this London Mile Series qualifier. A couple bringing reasonable form into the table as well. Gary, what'll it be here?
Yeah, Isis Blue won on his penultimate outing over this course and distance. He unseated his rider in a handicap here over this distance. When last seen 49 days ago, he's finally begun to strut good, this six-year-old for the Rodder Millman team. And Alice Mills takes a very valuable £5 off this horse's back. We've got quite a few previous course and distance winners in this lineup. Red Paladin was third here at a fairly big price when last seen, 161 days ago. Much will depend on how fit he is on his return. Squire is another one who's a previous course and distance winner, another one coming back here off a fairly lengthy break. Harry Holland only had the two starts, won a maiden at Linkfield 32 days ago. He makes his handicap debut off a mark of 17, which I think is probably just a little bit on the harsh side. Chevalier, another one who's won here in the past. He had a good year last year, but he has his first run for quite some time. Be interesting to see what the market makes of him. So I think the one I'm going to go for is the Richard Hughes trained Bank of Gibraltar, who won at Wolverhampton over seven furlongs when last seen 84 days ago. Has ran in handicaps before. I'm sure the horse will have been buoyed by victory in that race at Wolverhampton last time out. And he might just improve a little bit. Sounds a nice thing to say about a horse that took a while to shed the maiden tag, but I'm sure his confidence will have been buoyed by that victory. So yeah, he will probably just about get the selection in that 7:55 race at Kempton.
Bank of Gibraltar then, Richard Hughes and Shane Kelly getting the nod for Gary in the 7:55 at Kempton. If you wouldn't mind, please just give us a quick recap of the four picks for Wednesday's racing.
Yeah, in the 2:30 at Exeter Space Oddity, in the 3:40 at Exeter Mountain of Mourne, over at Sutherland there, feature race in the 3:25 Moon River, and in the Kempton penultimate race, the 7:55 Bank of Gibraltar.
Thank you very much, Gary. Best of luck, and hopefully when I next see you, you'll have caught up with British Summertime.
Debatable.
There we are, Gary Capel's thoughts ahead of the action on Wednesday. And you can join Gary in the Racing Radio studio alongside Gordon Brown and Sean Quinn for Exeter, Lingfield, Suddle and Kempton this side of the Irish Sea. There's also an Irish card at Downpatrick. So don't forget to tune into Racing Radio for that from 1:50. And best of luck with all your bets on Wednesday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.